Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism, you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Ezekiel. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their descendants have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Word of God. Word of life. Let us pray Psalm 123 responsively. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt.
Too much.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that he has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done at his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. and he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went around among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
One of the first tasks of our building forum when we started meeting regarding the capital campaign was for this renovation and restoration project. One of the first tasks that we had was to give the campaign a name. And that was probably the easiest task that we had. Hospitality is a key value. And All Are Welcome emerged as our campaign title as well as our goal. We talk a lot about hospitality, not only in our church, but in our homes as well. I can't imagine any of you having the desire to be called inhospitable. We even look at hospitality as a spiritual gift. And we can point to our church family and say that this community really has this gift of hospitality. But have you noticed that in our conversations around hospitality, it's one-sided? I mean, we talk a lot about our hospitality, our gift of hospitality, our willingness to extend hospitality and our desire to extend that hospitality. Actually, we get a little self-congratulatory regarding our own hospitality. But when was the last time you accepted hospitality? Or maybe a better question would be, when have you relied on the hospitality of others? It's one thing to be invited to dinner. It's another thing to wonder where your dinner is going to come from if you don't get invited. In the Gospel from Mark, Jesus teaches us that discipleship means depending on hospitality. And this dependence is not about extending hospitality, but it's more about receiving hospitality. It's one thing to say, all are welcome, and it's another thing to be needing that welcome. I'm not sure, but I think that most of us would rather think about and reflect on our hospitality and our generosity rather than on our vulnerability and our dependence. And I'm certain that most of us, if not all of us, would rather give than need to receive. Hospitality was indispensable in the ancient world. There weren't many restaurants or hotels along those dusty roads of Palestine. It was impossible to travel without receiving the hospitality of strangers. The environment of the desert and that arid land in most of the Middle East is very harsh. And a traveler would have to have access to food and water. It's a matter of life and death. Most of the settlements were built along places where there was water, or at least a well, and a traveler needed to have access to that water. And yet the settled community needed to have protection. So as a result, very strict code of hospitality was developed to take care of the encounters between the travelers and the settled community. And those hospitality codes also extend into the Bedouins, the people who lived in their tents and followed their herds of cattle or goats around in that area. They would also be responsible for the traveler who would come to the settlement or come to their tent. The host was obliged to provide the traveler with food and water and shelter. Now, we shouldn't tame our gospel and Jesus' teachings to the disciples and say that hospitality is any less essential today than it was in the first century. Gospel hospitality is not just having someone over for dinner. Gospel hospitality is not just letting someone use our bathrooms or our parish hall. We want to talk about our hospitality and our welcome as being more genuine than some other church or some other people. But really, there isn't a more or less. There is only Jesus' teaching regarding hospitality. Either you are or you aren't hospitable. If you welcome some and exclude others, you can't pretend that you are, it's just pretending that you are hospitable. A lot of talk in these last weeks have been spurred by the events in Charleston and the Supreme Court decisions. As Christians hearing this gospel today, we are called to a hospitality that may feel risky to many of us. On both the giving and on the receiving sides, there is risk and vulnerability. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to receive the hospitality of others as if your life depended on it? Because that's what Jesus was teaching the disciples. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. We want to be known as a welcoming church. So how do you think we're doing? For example, do you ever personally invite a visitor to go to coffee with you? Oh, I know it's not your job because you're not the greeter today, but it is your job as a member of this church to personally invite someone, not just expect that the invitation at the end of the service, everybody's welcome, but to ask someone to go with you. Do you take the end place on the pew and wait to have somebody ask you to move in or have to climb over you? Now, I know there's some really good reasons to sit on the end of the pew, but we don't all have those reasons. So how hospitable are we just in where we sit in the church? And how welcoming are we to others? That was a little sidetrack, and now I lost my place. All our welcome is our motto. But we must also say that we are all the welcomed as well. This hospitality stuff has to be a give and a take. We can't possibly say welcome without opening ourselves to receive that welcome in return. That's true hospitality. That's gospel hospitality. Maybe we need to think about not only how we extend hospitality, but how we receive it. Can you admit your own need for hospitality? We talked about this on Thursday night at our evening worship, and we all agreed that we have been taught to value independence and to value not being dependent on others. And maybe we've been taught that too well. We don't want others to help. We want to do it by ourselves, whatever it might be. Let me tell you about my friend Owen. He's in heaven now, so he doesn't mind me talking about him. He was a colleague in ministry when I was serving the rural congregations in South Dakota. He had been a Navy chaplain his whole career, and I would say that he had a heightened sense of independence. We had weekly staff meetings, And we rotated those among the six congregations that were about 30 miles apart. And so we would spend the afternoon and have a meal together. And we would help one another with projects or things at the church, as well as doing our planning and prayer together. One day we arrived at Owen's place to find that the front door had this huge piece of plywood covered, nailed over it. And right where the window had been in the front door now was a piece of plywood. And he reluctantly told us the story. He wanted to move the downstairs guest bedroom to the upstairs and move the master bedroom from upstairs to the downstairs. And he wanted to do it by himself because he did not like to have other people help him do anything. So he was doing this move in the 2 hours before three other people were coming, but he couldn't wait for us to do it. He had to do it by himself, and the queen size mattress got away from him and slid down the stairs and crashed through that front door. That piece of plywood stood as his mark of unwillingness to accept the hospitality or the help of others. He didn't want to ask for help, and he didn't want to accept it when it was offered. Can you relate? Do you have a plywood story of your own? Put a finer point on it. I think that maybe this lesson, that this is the lesson that Jesus was teaching when he told the story of the Good Samaritan. Does the man in the ditch really want help from the Samaritan? Or would he rather die than take that help? Would I rather die than accept assistance or accept hospitality from someone else? And making it even more pointed, accepting hospitality from someone we might consider to be one of those people, someone who is not like us, would you be willing to accept hospitality from them? But hear this good news. In the waters of baptism, we have been made one family, and there is no we and they. There is only us. And all are welcome means that we are both the welcomed and the welcomer. It's uncomfortable. It's risky. It challenges our independence and our control. But it's worth being stretched. Maybe this week you can spend some time thinking about your own need for hospitality. Walk through those doors that are opened for you. Let go of your excuses about not wanting to impose on others. Give up your control and give in to what others want to do for you. That's not easy. It's not comfortable. It may feel too risky to be vulnerable, but it's worth it because this kind of experience of hospitality is what Jesus had in mind for us to be able to experience the love of our God. So deep, so wide, so huge, the love of our God that shows mercy no matter what, the love of our God that has become flesh so that the doors of God's heart might be flung open for all people. The love of our God, which proclaims that all are welcome, that we are welcomed by that mercy of God, that we are called to share that love and that forgiveness. Let others help when you need that help. Let others live this Christian kindness to you. All are welcome. Amen.